1 through 5 is where I want to begin in the scriptures here tonight. And everything the Lord has been speaking and we've been singing here tonight is just helping me understand that I'm on the right track here tonight. What God is doing in this house, and what God is doing via Facebook Live. Psalms 108, verse number 1. This is a psalm of David. It says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Praise our God. Glory to his holy name. Hallelujah. You can be seated again tonight. Whether we realize it or not, we have just sang praises unto God among the nations. We have just done that. That Facebook Live broadcast can go anywhere on the face of this earth if someone clicks and tunes in. And we have just sang praises to our God among the nations. Now, I don't know how David did it, but we just did it tonight because of technology. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 9. It's a question. It says, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. It's a question to help man understand that he cannot cleanse his own heart. And he cannot set himself free from his own sin. Praise God. The title of my message here tonight is Only God. Only God can cleanse the heart. Only God can set me free from my sin. I want to read on here. I've got things I want to share. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 9. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. Only God. You see, these scriptures tonight are talking about the heart. And when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about our major muscle in our chest that pumps the blood throughout our body. That's not the heart it's talking about. According to the Bible, the heart is the center not only of spiritual activity, but of all the operations of human life. There's very various portions of Scripture that give us that insight to that is that center of the will. That is that center of where we make that choice. That center of where we choose to do what we're going to do. Because a lot of times, our mind may tell us and our knowledge may tell us no. But our heart yearns for the wickedness. And we choose it instead. You see, it's not a matter of saying in my mind, I'm going to quit sin. It's a matter of getting my heart fixed that's going to deliver me from sin. And so many, all through the ages, have tried within themselves to deliver themselves, to clean their own heart, to deliver themselves from sin. They've depended upon man to tell them they're forgiven. Man to tell them they're all right. There's one thing you will never find this pastor doing. I will never tell someone they're saved. Because if they are saved, they will tell me. I will never shake someone's hand as they leave this sanctuary and tell them they're right with God. If they're right with God, they'll tell me all about it. Hallelujah. Now I may know in my mind, in my heart, somebody's not right with God. But I'm not going to tell them they're not right with God. Because if the Holy Ghost cannot convince them they're not right with God, be it far from me to try. That is His work, to reprove this world of sin and to instruct in righteousness and show that sin will be judged. Woo! That's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's not just to bless you. It's not just to bless me. Though He blesses you, He blesses me. To be filled with the Spirit of God is one of the greatest joys on the face of the earth. To have the Spirit of God flowing in your heart and in your soul and in your mind is one of the greatest joys a child of God can have. But the work of the Holy Ghost is to convince men of their sin. To show them their heart. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. Who can cleanse it? Only God. Who can save a soul? Only God. Who can forgive sin? Only God. Hallelujah. You see that heart, that center of our life. The heart is the home of the personal life. And hence a man is designated according to his heart. I mean, in 1 Kings, he can have a wise heart. He can have a pure heart. In Psalms, in Matthew, I mean, in other words, the Bible speaks about the heart. It can be upright. It can be righteous. It can be pious. It can be good. In all these passages, the heart is what makes the individual. The heart is also the seat of the conscience. It is naturally wicked. And hence, it contaminates the whole life and character. Once again, this is a reflection back to the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible lets us know it's been contaminated from birth. We're born with a wicked heart. We're born with a sinful heart. We're born with a deceitful heart. What is a deceitful heart? A deceitful heart is a heart that says good is evil and evil is good. That's a deceitful heart. Hence, the heart must be changed, regenerated, before a man can willingly obey God. The heart. So, the process of salvation begins in the heart. Once again, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, only God can bring salvation. You see, knowing about God does not bring salvation. Following rules and rituals does not bring salvation. holding to the greatest creeds the church has ever generated does not bring salvation. Regeneration brings salvation. Hallelujah. God coming on the scene. God cleansing the heart. God creating a new heart. Hallelujah. So the process of salvation begins in the heart by the believing reception of the testimony of God, while the rejection of that testimony hardens the heart. Hardness of heart evidences itself by light views of sin. Partial acknowledgement and confession of it. Pride and conceit. Ingratitude. Unconcern about the word and ordinances of God. Inattention to divine providences. Stifling convictions of conscience. Shunning reproof. Presumption. And general ignorance of divine things. Hardness of heart is evidenced by these things. You see, I don't know whether you remember it or not. When God was delivering Israel from Egypt, does anyone remember who it was that kept hardening their heart? Have you ever read that story and realized, all right, Pharaoh, you're doing good. You did right. You realized it was God. And the next moment, totally against God. You know what that is? That's the process of the hardening of the heart. When God comes and reveals himself and you with joy realize it's God and you confess your sin and you turn from it and then you go out the church door and you're right back in it. What is that? That's the process of hardening of the heart. Instead of letting the heart be led by God, the heart becomes deceitful again, wicked again. Why? Why does that happen? That is the age-old question that if we could actually change it for somebody, they'd be saved and be saved forever. Because we are creatures of choice. And we choose what we do. And if we choose wrong over God too long, it will harden our hearts and we will have a weak view of sin. And if we have a weak view of sin, we'll find ourselves in sin. See, only God can deliver us from sin. Hallelujah. And we've got to grab a hold of this reality, and we've got to survey our hearts to make sure we're not on the road of a hardened heart, but we're on the road of a soft heart, a tender heart towards God. Because realizing He is the only one that can cleanse my heart, renew my heart, and keep my heart where it belongs. Woo, hallelujah. Only God. Only God. So the Bible is very, very wonderful, grand, great, God's Word, infallible Word, preserved Word, and it has a whole lot to say about unregenerated man. It has a whole lot to say about the heart's condition while we're lost or in sin. And I'm not going to read every one of these scriptures, but the Bible says that unregenerated heart, in other words, that heart that's not been born again, that heart that's not met Jesus Christ, that heart that may know knowledge of Jesus Christ, but's not met Jesus Christ, not been born again by the Spirit of God, that unregenerated heart, the Bible says, is full of iniquity. Now I want to give you just a little understanding the difference between sin and iniquity. Sin is the committed act. Iniquity is the desire to do it. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust, you've already committed sin in your heart. That's iniquity. That's the difference between sin and iniquity. Sin is the committed act where you've been caught in the act, and iniquity is that desire to do that wrong and do that evil. So the unregenerated heart is full of wrong desires. desires for iniquity, desires for evil. That unregenerated heart loves evil. It's the fountain of evil. It's a wayward heart. It's a blind heart. And there's like 5-6 different scriptures for each one of these. And like I said, I'm not going to take the time tonight to read all these scriptures. But if you want a copy of this, I'll gladly give you one. And that unregenerated heart is a hard heart. We've already talked about that. It's a proud heart. It's a subtle heart or a deceiving heart. A sensual heart. A worldly heart. A malicious heart. An impenitent heart. A diabolical heart. It's a covetous heart. Talking about unregenerated hearts. Hearts that may have a knowledge about God, but they have not been cleansed by God. Not been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not invited the Savior in. Oh, God of heaven, that heart is a foolish heart. But the regenerated heart is that heart that's been born from above. John chapter 3, verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. God, only God, can give the second birth. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I don't know whether you realize it or understand it, but there are multitudes of quote-unquote Christian denominations that call the born-again experience something that man has done. I mean, from the Lutheran church, that born-again experience was infant baptism and then a confession of your faith at teenage age. And then that was considered your new birth because you spoke the right words. But I'm sorry, I went through all of that from birth. I was baptized as an infant at the age of 13. I confirmed all the creeds of that denomination. And at the age of 23, I was born again by the Spirit of God. And I met Jesus Christ, and He became my Savior. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So, we got to realize and understand we can't trust in man's methods. We can't trust in man's ways. We can't trust our own heart because what is it? It's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. So, the only one we can trust is God. Hallelujah. Trusting in God to cleanse this heart. Trusting in God to change this heart. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this heart and regenerate it. Rebirth it. Woo! That's why Jesus used the terminology born again. Because you're born into this world with a deceitful, wicked heart. And only Jesus Christ can change it. Wow! To a pure and cleansed heart. Through His finished work on Calvary, that shedding of that precious blood. Hallelujah. And our repentant heart. A regenerated heart is graciously affected of God. A regenerated heart is strengthened by God, enlightened by God. A regenerated heart is obedient unto God. A regenerated heart has full faith in God, trust in God, love towards God, the fear, the righteous fear of God. That regenerated heart has zeal to seek God. Woo, hallelujah. You see, this is the difference between those that are regenerated and those that are not. They've got a zeal for truth. They've got a desire for truth. They've got a desire for righteousness. They've got a desire for holiness. They've got a desire to live right on the face of this earth because Jesus Christ is inside. Wow. And He's working wonders in us. That regenerated heart is a joyful heart. It's an upright heart. It's a clean heart. It's a pure heart. It's a sincere heart. It's a repentant heart. It's a devout heart. It's a wise heart. It's a tender heart. It's a holy heart. It's a compassionate heart. It's a lowly heart. Humble before God. Hallelujah. This is awesome, really. I mean, I just, glory. To be refreshed of what God has done. What God can do, what God has done, what God wants to do. Most of all, to survey my heart, to see where it's at. Where's my heart? What do I desire the most? Yeah. What does my heart desire the most? You see, because we've got to be careful, because if we continue on the path of a hardened heart, God will give us the desire of our heart, and we ain't going to like where it takes us. We're not going to like what it brings to us. I remember a young preacher man many years ago preached a message on, you got what you want. Do you want what you got? Because a lot of times we think we want something, and then we get it, and it begins to get a hold of us. Famous last words, I can handle it. There's anything you get from this message tonight, I want you to understand, you can't handle it. You can't handle a deceitful heart. You can't handle a desperately wicked heart. You can't handle desires for wickedness. You can't handle that. You can't say when you're going to stop, because you'll never stop because you have a desire for wickedness. And so there is no stopping point to wickedness. There has to be a change of the heart. There has to be a cleansing of the heart. Hallelujah. Psalm 51, verse number 10 through 13. I'll be closing with this here tonight. This was the psalmist David once again. This is what he was crying out after he gave in to the desire of sin. After he gave in to the desire of adultery. After he gave in to the desire of murder. You see, it always leads to another thing. I want to say that again. It always will lead to somewhere else, farther into sin. David's situation, he should have stopped it. Number one, he should have been on the battlefield for the Lord. He should have been out there fighting with his men. He should have been doing what he was supposed to be doing. But instead, he had idleness of time, idleness of mind. And that is nothing but the devil's playground. Why the Bible admonishes you and I to think on the pure things. Think on the holy things. Think on the righteous things. Think on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think on godly things. Hallelujah. So that you can overcome and keep a clean heart. Woo, hallelujah. Praise our God. So here's David's cry after he finally got caught. You realize who it was that caught David? It wasn't a prophet. Only God. But do you realize God used the prophet? He's using me tonight to help you wherever you may be. Whether you're Facebook Live or sitting in this sanctuary, I'm that prophet of God tonight. I'm the one giving you a message God wants you to hear. And I knew I needed to preach this tonight also. I just knew I did. And so I'm doing my best to preach it. And so David was caught in his sin by God himself, and God sent the prophet. And the prophet began to share that story. And David began to get mad. See, David knew what was right. David knew what was holy. David knew what was righteous. He just hadn't done it. I mean, he's getting mad at this story. And he's wanting to take action. I mean, he's wanting to bring judgment. And I mean, you know, David gets to that point where he's really angry. And the prophet says, it's you. A lot of times, all through a message, you can say, amen, 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 that's right, and you get right down to the end of it, and God says, it's you. It's you. It's you. And then this is what David did. He cried unto the Lord, Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost. That's talking about right thinking. Right thinking. Renew my mind to think according to thy word. Oh, hallelujah. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. The only way you're going to help anybody on the face of this earth know who Jesus Christ is if you know Him first. Hallelujah. If you turn from sin first, the only way you can help a sinner is not be one. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, that philosophy that has crept into the church to become like the sinners, to win the sinners, is a diabolical teaching from the pits of hell. It is not God's teaching. God wants men and women of a clean heart, a pure heart, a righteous life, a life full of the Holy Ghost, that sinners might know there's hope. Only God. Only God. Only God can clean the heart. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can help in the time of trouble. Only God knows the beginning from the end. Only God, hallelujah, knows when that trumpet's going to sound. Wow. And if I remember correctly, only God has been telling us to get ready. The very one who knows when it's going to sound is saying, get ready. Get ready. Turn from your sin. Turn from your pride. Turn, bottom line, turn from that heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. Turn to God. For God only can create a clean heart in me. And only God can renew my mind to where I think right. You see, sin does such a diabolical thing. Number one, it separates me from God. If I stay in a separated state from God, doesn't mean I don't know about God. Doesn't mean I can't feel the presence of God. It just means I am separated from God. Let me throw something in here to give you a little insight. When Adam and Eve were hiding, did they know the voice of God? Something was different now, though, wasn't it? They were hiding from God. They didn't want to be in God's presence. They didn't want to talk to God. And then when they did, all they did was blame somebody else for their sin. Wow, does that sound familiar? Why? It's because it's the same for every human being on the face of the earth. That's what you do when you're confronted with your sin. You hide from God. And then if you're caught and God's calling your number, you blame somebody else. Well, No. God deals with you on a personal plane. That makes no difference what somebody else did. Didn't make any difference that the serpent had enticed them. He got his judgment, but that didn't cause them to disobey. They chose to bring sin into this world. And you realize Eve is the first one that listened to the lies of the serpent. But then Adam could have said, no, that's wrong, that's not right, we need to go to God. That'd been a whole different story, wouldn't it? Mercy probably would have rewrote her life right there. I don't know that. But he didn't. He ate of the fruit also. And now they were hiding from God. Now they realized they felt dirty. They felt ashamed for the first time in their life because they had disobeyed God and sinned. That deceitful, desperately wicked heart came alive in them. They got just exactly what God told them they would get. They died spiritually, and they came away carnally and fleshly and lustful. And now they're hiding from God. They still knew God's voice. They still knew it when it was God, when his presence came by. But something was now different in them. They had that diabolical heart. They had that deceitful, desperately wicked heart. And now through the ages, God has brought the remedy. Oh, praise our God. He's brought the remedy. Jesus Christ is the remedy for that deceitful, diabolical, wicked heart. Nothing else. There's no man-made formula that can make it happen. The only thing can make it happen is when that heart cries out to God. And then God comes on the scene and he cleanses it. He makes a clean heart. Hallelujah. He makes a hungry heart. He makes a pure heart. All those past sins are washed away. They're gone. And the newness of life is put in their place. Hallelujah. And from that point, we must go forward with our God and earnestly contend to walk with our God and fight the fight of faith of a continual battle against that deceitful and wicked heart. Because if we ever quit, that old heart will come right back upon us. And we'll find ourselves in worse shape than we were before. Only God. And the glorious thing about it, God is not willing that any should perish, but all could come to that glorious saving knowledge, cleansing knowledge, not just head knowledge, but that cleansing of the heart that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring into our lives. Could I have a piano player? Only God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he will. And he does. And he has. And he always will cleanse that repentant heart. He will always hear that cry, that sincere humbling of the heart. Hallelujah. Choosing and crying out to God. God, create a clean heart in me. Renew a right mind in me. Hallelujah. Oh, restore to me, hallelujah, that fellowship with God. That's what Jesus Christ came into this world to do, to restore fellowship between man and God. Hallelujah. No longer did we have to be ruled by that desperately wicked heart, but now because of regeneration, the finished work of Calvary, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for the sins of the world through Jesus Christ, we can now have back that newness of life, of that relationship with God that Adam and Eve had before they fell into sin in the garden.
Yes.
That's why Jesus died on Calvary. That's why he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Because he knew on the other side of that cross, life was coming alive. Life was coming to mankind. Cleansing. Renewing, refreshing fellowship with the Holy God of heaven, because we were made holy by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Everything in that Old Testament tabernacle and temple to be put into service had to be sprinkled by the blood. And when you and I are cleansed by the blood, we become a vessel of honor, ready to be used by the Master. That is a reference to that Old Testament tabernacle, that Old Testament temple, that everything had to be cleansed by the blood. And now through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're cleansed. And we become that living sacrifice, that living vessel, to live in this world holy and acceptable unto our God, which is our reasonable service. We must survey and we must look, amen, to make sure we are not hardening our hearts in the house of God. Because there's two things that are going to happen when the Spirit of God begins to move. We're either going to get hungry and press higher and deeper, or we're going to harden our heart and start losing out with God. That's the only two things that can happen in the house of God. Whether the saint, whether the sinner, when the Spirit of God begins to draw and begins to move, that sinner can repent or get harder. That saint of God can rejoice or lose joy and then come to the place where they need repentance. It's all a matter of the heart. And only God can keep, cleanse, work in that heart as long as we keep the door open. Come on in. Come on in, God. Come into this heart. Come into this life. Come into this vessel. Work your wonderful works, oh God, because only by your grace will I make it. Only by your mercy will I make it. I'm not talking about grace and mercy to overlook sin. I'm talking about grace and mercy to reveal it so I can get loose from it. I can live for Jesus. Stand to your feet if you could tonight. Father in heaven, I praise your wonderful name. I praise your holy name. I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for the greatness of your plan of salvation. I thank you for your Holy Ghost that you have sent back into this world to reprove this world of sin, instruct in righteousness, and show judgment that's coming. Oh, God of heaven, I thank you for your presence in this house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your word that's coming alive. God, I ask you, Lord, to move in my heart. Move in the hearts of these present in this sanctuary, God. Move in the hearts, oh God, of Facebook Live World. Oh, God of heaven, just work your wonders, Lord God, in this place, Lord, in every place, God, that your word goes forth. Have your way with us here tonight, God. Have your way with us here tonight. Praise be to our God. Let's come around these altars here tonight. Let's take opportunity to pray. Let's take opportunity to respond to the Spirit of the living God, of this word that's been shared tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven. Hallelujah. Work, work, work. Oh, Lord, your wonders.